I'm Pathan. I don't know whether you know about Pathan. Yeah, that's the northwest frontier part of Pakistan. And you know where was Osama bin Laden hiding? That's the area. I'm from Peshawar. And my mother tongue is Pashto. But our medium language was Urdu. And we learned English as well. And I can speak the community language, which is Punjabi. I can speak that. And I can read Arabic. So it means that few languages I'm capable of communicating in. I used to be a translator as well for police station, police, Royal Gwent, for the medical help and immigration. I have done that, I think, for a long time, but after when my health issue started, I stopped that. And I was a teacher. Back home, I was a lecturer in college. Then I came here. I brought up my children. I got 7 children, 2 boys, 5 girls. And they are, alhamdulillah, they are all highly educated. 5 of them, they are married, 2 are not. And then I started as a teacher here in Lisbury. I was working for GEMS. I don't know whether you know about GEMS, Going to Ethnic Multi Support Service. Yeah. So I work for them, and I work for Lisbury Comp as our Urdu language teacher. So nearly 27 years I worked there. I retired in 2014. And after that, for a little while, I worked as a translator, but then I stopped. Now I'm a free woman. I'm enjoying myself, joining different clubs and with different friends and spending nice time.
Okay, I'll ask a few further questions about that, because that was amazing. That was a lot of different kind of pathways and different parts of your story. First things first, can you just introduce your name and where you were born in Urdu, and then in English as well, please?
Yeah, my name is Jahanara Khan, and I born in Peshawar. I'm about 75 year old, and I have done my education in Pakistan. Then I started my job as well there. I work for Radio Pakistan as well. I work as a lecturer back home.
If you can say that in Urdu as well?
I was an English as a second language teacher.
Oh no, sorry, the introduction. Can you just say your name and where you were born in Urdu?
In Urdu?
Yes.
Oh, okay then. Mera naam Jahanara hai. Pura naam Jahanara Khan hai. Main Pakistan ke shahar Peshawar se hoon. Main Pathan hoon. Meri madri zaban jo hai wo Pashto hai. Lekin main Urdu, Punjabi aur Hind ko ye zabani bhi bol sakti hoon. Aur baki maine yahan مختلف اسکولوں میں بھی پڑھایا ہے, سیکنڈری اسکول میں 11+18 کو, اور میں نے ٹرانسلیشن کا کام بھی کافی کیا ہے گوئنٹ پولیس کے لیے, گوئنٹ ہاسپٹل کے لیے, اور مختلف علاقوں میں جہاں بھی ترجمان کی ضرورت پڑی ہے میں نے اس میں حصہ لیا ہے.
If we can start at the beginning. Yes. What do you remember about your childhood days?
What I remember about my?
Your childhood. So you've been a child and growing up. What do you remember?
I was the only child. And because my lifestyle was, because my father, he was very keen in education. And he emphasized most of the time on my education. He wouldn't allow me to waste my time in other activities. All the time, the pressure was to achieve good results. And books were my good company. I studied all the time, different books, different knowledgeable books. And I got few friends. My one friend is nearly, I think, 50 or 55 years relationship we got. She's my best friend. She's like my sister. And I got lots of cousins. And because I don't know whether you know about Pakistani culture or the Pathan culture, they are very isolated people. They mostly spend their time and they spend their different activities, participate in different activities between the family. So I used to have lots of cousins, uncle, aunties, and on every occasion we get together and we don't need anybody outsider. You know, it's a big family, not like here. Nuclear family, no, we got lots of friends, lots of cousins, lots of aunties, uncle, and we are visiting each other's houses instead of looking outside. So that was my childhood, you know, I remember my cousins, I remember my family, I remember all the activities, gathering together on Eid, because there are two Eids, or any Saturday or Friday, we used to go to our Nana's house, we lived there for 2 days and coming back on Monday for school. So that was our lifestyle.
Was there any games? Did you play any games or what?
Yeah. I was a very, you know, boyish type girl because I was only a child and I used to play with a boy, cricket, football. Apart from that, there was mainly in the street. There wasn't any grounds or anything. We used to play in the street. Like in the 60s, they used to have it here. So these type of games I used to play, listening to the music. And I don't remember anything else. I was very good at drawing. You know, I was company for my own self. I didn't need anybody. I didn't draw and color and make the pictures, and so I was quite happy with that.
What type of things did you draw?
Pardon?
What type of things did you draw? What did you, yeah, what did you draw or what did you paint?
Where did I go?
Draw, what did you
draw? Yeah. You know, human beings, flowers, natural things, river, tree. I learned painting, and now I don't have any practice, so I don't think I'll be that good, but still, glass painting. I used to love embroidery, knitting, crochet, and because in those days there wasn't anything ready-made, so we used to make our bed sheets with the embroidery, with the flower, and that was my hobbies.
And can you, discipline, I just want to talk about also discipline.
Pardon?
Discipline.
Very disciplined people, yeah. My father, especially like I said, he wouldn't let me waste my time. He was such a lovely father, he never touched me, never any. But I knew how far I can go. And without their permission, though my mother was very simple woman, you know, simple not in that way, but very easygoing person. But we did have respect our elder people, and still I'm teaching my children the same, you know, in the street we, or in the, wherever we live, they can't call anybody by the name. First when I came here, people used to, the little children, Mrs. Khan, and I can't understand that, because in our culture you call everybody auntie or uncle. So this type of discipline, not going out after 7 o'clock, staying home, don't give answer back, respect your elder, whatever they say, obey it. That was the lifestyle, and I appreciate it. I'm in favor of that, though we are not having that now, but life is changing, things are changing. Yeah, so it was very disciplined society at that time.
And we were just talking about it teaches you respect, doesn't it? It teaches you respect from being very, very young, and you carry that respect everywhere you go and whatever you do, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's play, all
but
of that.
But it's different now.
Yes.
It's not the same now.
How different is it now?
How different? There is no tolerance. I think there is no tolerance. Everybody is punching on you. You know, the moment, if you, because you're a human being, if you say something, you don't know how they will take it. Because you got to be trying to please everyone. And if you think something wrong, you can't say nothing. Like in our society, if somebody from the next door neighbor, if they saw us, we are doing something wrong, they come to us and say, listen, stop it now. And that was enough for us. But nowadays, I can't even say anything to my own children, because they don't like it. So that's the difference. They haven't got any tolerance, any patience. They want everything according to their own wishes.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. You were speaking about how your family used to gather. In terms of
joint family system.
What kind of like traditions and celebrations do you remember?
It is a joint family system. In one way, it is excellent, but there are other difficulties as well. When I came here, at home is different.
Yeah, can you speak about that, please?
At home is different because you are living in that system, and you accept everything. Because you are used to it. For example, if I am living with my uncle or aunties, they are more responsible than my parents towards me. And I know if they are stopping me from something, it's actually their duty. And it's my duty as well to respect their views. So that was the joint family system. You know, they care about us. For example, if mom and dad gone somewhere, they look after us. My grandmother or my aunties, they are like our own mothers. There is no difference between your parents and your aunties. So I respect that, but there are few things that it is unacceptable in that joint family system. Now, not at that time. At that time, because I was little, and I think it's right. Now I think, no, it's too much, because like one or two people, they are struggling to live in that society, to live in the joint family system, but they're forced to live there. So I wouldn't live on my own. I find it very, because when I came here, my mother-in-law, my three sister-in-laws, my one brother-in-law, we were 9 or 8 people in the same house. And I never feel any difference, but there was complication as well. Criticizing all the time, expecting you to do so much, which sometimes you are not capable, you are not feeling well, but you got to please them. So there are good things and bad things about the joint family system. But I liked it.
So what made you come to the UK?
I married. My husband was my mother's first cousin. I married to him. There was only 3 or 4 year difference. So I was engaged to him when I was 12 years old. And then when I was 25, he came here in 1960s, I think. And then after 15 years, He went back and I finished all my education and everything, so I married him and I came in 1975 to this country.
Did you study as well when you were here? Well, you said you...
To Bristol Uni for a couple of courses because while I was working, I was a teacher and then I went for different courses and to approve my qualification as well because my qualification was from back home and there was 1 year course to for approval of my qualification, so I have done that and then after that I was a qualified teacher. Before that they were paying me unqualified status. So yes, I went for the study. And then I taught in Nash College as well for 2 years, A-level Urdu.
So when did you come to Newport?
When come to Newport?
Yeah.
1975.
Ah, okay, so you came straight to Newport.
Straight here and since then I'm still here.
I see. So what was the most important thing that you had to leave behind it?
My parents. After my marriage, 3 years after my father passed away, very young, because I think he was about 45 or something. He had a breast cancer and I couldn't go. After his death, I thought there is no point going now. I called my mother. My mother was here, but she wasn't happy here. So she stayed like for a couple of months and then she went back. So yes, my friends, my status as well, because I was a lecturer back home. And when I came here, I was just a housewife for 18 years. Just people, the most thing which I missed that, everybody knows me, Jimmy Khan's wife. Nobody knows me who I was. And that was a very big shock for me. Adnan's mom, Jimmy's wife, that's all. But then I went out. I start teaching and everything. And now they recognize me by my own personality, my own name, and my recognition was approved.
Thank you. How did you get here? Was it by sea or by air? How did you get into the UK? Was it plane or was it by...
From Kabul by plane. Yeah, yeah. It was, you know how much was the ticket at that time? £80. £80 was ticket. Return ticket, £80.
So then, what was the best thing about the journey?
Only having because I love my husband. Apart from that, I don't think I like anything here at the beginning. Now it's my home. But it was a big shock. Cultural shock, lifestyle, language, because it doesn't matter how educated you are, but when you come here, the accent and the language was a barrier. So it took a long time for me to achieve all this.
Yeah. Was there something easy? What was the easiest thing to get used to when you were here?
At that time, I don't think, because you're young, you don't think like that. I never thought of that, because I think I was much better over there. Now it's different because my health is deteriorating, everything, and then I think, oh, NHS is all right. The doctor's approach is all right because Pakistan is getting worse, opposite now. So the difference is now, but at that time, I don't think, no. Personally, I wasn't happy when I came. Nobody to talk, nobody to share your experience. I was very lonely when I came here. And because you are a man, it's different for you. But for a woman, living with in-laws, it's very hard job. I used to sit in my room in the window and cry for hours and hours because there was nobody who can I talk to. It was very, very difficult. So at that time, no, I don't think I was impressed. I couldn't communicate with my parents because letter writing was, it took 15 days from here to send a letter. And if they give me answer on the spot, another 15 days. So in 1 month, we received one letter, and sometime this letter disappear during the postage. So it was very hard, very hard. It wasn't easy.
Mm. And where in Newport, did you live?
Harrow Road.
Harrow Road.
But you know the mosque?
So what started to help you getting used to the place around that time? What was helping you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I was so naive, I didn't realize that nowadays the girls come, they know everything, they goes out. I thought after the bridge, you know the Harrow Road bridge? Everything is finished. Never go out, never talk to anybody because the language communication. I speak Pashto and I speak Urdu, while the whole community, they are Punjabi speaker. So, and I was so scared to talk to them because if I say something, perhaps it will pass on to my in-laws and they'll say, oh, you talk to them. Didn't know if I'm in trouble, where shall I go? But God helped me during that time because my husband was a very nice, good person. And he was like a pillar for me, a support. So I didn't need anyone. I used to talk to him. I know there was ups and downs, but nobody else was there.
And around that time, there's of course, because it's early, there's not that many services and things like that just yet.
No,
Yes. So then, as you started to get older and you're studying, this is when you were studying and getting your qualification, isn't it? After you got your qualification, what did you do then? What happened?
Actually, when I underestimated myself for a long period. When I applied for the job, teaching job, I thought I won't be able to get it. And it was in 1992. But when they selected me, I couldn't believe it. I got the job and then I thought, oh, I won't be, because again, the language, it was accent and everything. And I thought, oh, it's very hard. And I told my husband, I said, I shouldn't be going for it. And he said, no, go on. And if you don't like it, you can quit. So the first day I went, and after that for 27 years, I was stuck there. And I was highly qualified because I have got my BA in psychology, history, and Urdu. Then I have done my master in Urdu. Then I have done my BA, Bachelor of Education. So, and my 2 years lecturership experience, everything. And, but again, it's low confidence. Because living with the in-laws, they put me under everything. No, you can't do nothing, you can do nothing, you can do nothing. And that was, I convinced myself. But then, it's like after I achieve whatever I wanted, I came out of the shell slowly and gradually. So, lots of confidence, but still my husband was very, very, you can say, too much supportive. He never let me face the reality of the life. Whatever I ask, oh, how you could do this? Don't worry, I'll do it for you. So that was after he passed away nearly 9 years now, 8 years now. Now I realize I need so many things to know, which in his presence I never tried, because he was doing everything for me. And my children are the same now. They are doing it for me. Mom, we'll do it. So I think now I'm learning more than before.
Can I ask about another friend? Who was your first friend, besides your husband, of course? Who was your first friend?
Here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. They are people, I know them. I can't call them friends. Friends are those who are in bad or good. They are with you. I got these different groups, I'm joining them, but I can't call them, you know, like in English word, yes, you can call them friend. But our cultural background, I got only one friend, which is in Pakistan, and she lives 1,000 miles away from me. But if I call her, I need this, she'll say, okay. I call her a friend. So they are good people. We are meeting every day. We are joining our different celebrations and everything. But those are the people, I know them, they know me. I'm sorry, but I can't call them friends. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right.
Because, you know, they are, you know, we can pass some time with them. I can understand that. But I can't call them when I need them. Or they can't call me when they need me. Perhaps it's me. Not them, they are openly. But I'm so hesitant to go forward and say, oh, she's my friend, she'll do it for me. No. There is a reluctant. What if I ask for something and they deny? No. So the best thing is not to ask. You know, because these small things which you think make your friendship, no, I don't think so. Yeah, they are nice people. They are good. We are meeting each other every day. We are sharing our happiness. We are sharing our sorrows. But friend is something different. That's my definition of a friendship. Perhaps I'm very extremist.
No, it makes sense. I think it makes sense.
Yes.
Speaking about a friend.
I can't trust anyone. That's the problem.
How did you keep in touch? Are you still in touch with your friend in Pakistan, of course?
Every 15 days, I ring her. And if she rang me, if she won't hear from me, she phoned me. So we are in contact. You know, I'll give you one example. My husband passed away. We bought a house there in Pakistan. And there was installment given to her. And she realized and she said, Jahan, now your husband is gone. I don't think you'll be able to come here and live here. What's the point buying a house here? I said, yes, you're right. I said, what can you do? She said, don't worry. So she sold my house. She put the money on the side. When I went there, she said, here's your house money. You can keep it. So you can call a best friend that. Otherwise, I'd be lumbered up with all that. Whatever, I used to have accounts there. She closed every account. She said, look, we are the same age. I don't know how long I will live. I don't want after me that you will have problem. She got one daughter and she said, here's your money, here's your all account, every detail. She said, that's yours. So after finding a friend like that, then you're comparing with others. It's not the same. So we are in touch all the time. I was in the fifth class, which is, I think, about 10-year-old. And we are friends up till now.
That's why that makes sense. Yes. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. If we can talk about traditions, is there any traditions that you've kept here while you're here, like preserved? Are there traditions that you've made an effort to make sure that they stay with you and you share with the younger generation, with your kids as well?
There are lots of tradition, but I think it's very hard to keep them. When I was young, my problem is I'm very open. I won't, say anything which is not comply with my lifestyle. When I was young, I used to respect all the tradition, everything. But now, by the passing of time, the children are growing. I think it's very hard. It is very hard because sometimes I think it's other Asian people won't agree with that. I think it's very hard to force my children to my old tradition. I love to ask them to follow it, but if they can't, because they haven't seen that culture, they haven't seen that society, expecting from them to behave in that way is very hard. So, for example, mixed marriages. Whether you call it racist or bias or whatever it is, it's very hard. But now is the time you got to accept it. You can do nothing. To be very religious. Some people are lucky. They can do it. But I think it's imposing on them. It's not working. You're forcing them to accept something which they are not familiar with. Religion is all right, but other things. And I don't think I'm that traditional person. I don't think so. You'll have to change with the time, with the situation. So apart from that, it's only like Eid or our religious things, Ramadan. I follow them and I am a good example. If they learn from me, yes. If they can't, I can't force them. Because the more you are forcing someone, the more they start hating it. Because they think that you are putting something on them which they don't like it. So giving them good example and expecting that they will learn respect for others, yes, definitely. I can't stand any disrespect. I respect everyone and I want them to respect me. So respect the elder and respect your views, respect other people's views. I think by the passing of time, I'm changing a lot. I'm learning. We got to do this, we got to do this.
Can you talk about kind of Eid or Ramadan or celebrations at home when you were younger?
Oh, it's different. Yeah. It's lovely over there, yeah. Because, over there, if it's Ramadan, Even in Pakistan, different parts are celebrating in different ways. Like in Punjab, they openly eat everything if they are not fasting. In Peshawar, for 30 days, they don't open the shops. The shops are closed. And if you got a child in the house, and if he's hungry, you can't go to the shop and you can't buy anything. Because they know it's Ramadan and you shouldn't be coming out for the food. While in Punjab, it's not, they are not that strict. So I think it's in, especially our area, they are very strict in Ramadan. Each celebration is you are going to your uncle, auntie's houses. Different color clothes. If you wear different color clothes here outside, everybody will be looking at you. What's wrong? So yes, it's more interesting, more beautiful way of celebrating. But now we are doing it here as well. Like we had recently in Coffee and Love, we had a lovely party, Eid party. There are on the in Cardiff. They are celebrating Eid Mela. So, yes.
And what was it like in your grandmother's house as well? What was it like in your grandmother's house in celebrations or when your aunties used to come over and when your uncles used to come?
In Ramadan, actually, we are up before the dawn and we eat whatever you like. For example, nowadays, the children are more modern. They are having porridge or Weetabix. But in Pakistan, you make the paratha, which is a flat bread with a butter in it, and all this heavy food, which they don't eat, a fruit, tea, coffee, light breakfast. Because if you do your breakfast, then you won't be able to sleep or anything. So then is the Fajr Namaz, pray, first pray. After that, we don't eat anything till the dusk, you can say, yeah, until the sunset. And then, if you look at it, Ramadan means a simple lifestyle. But we are making a feast out of it, like making pakoras and making kebabs and this and that. Actually, it's not that. You should have something simple, food, which you can digest properly. So in my house, when they were young, I used to do everything. But now, it's only me and my daughter, we are living together. I'm not fasting because I'm a diabetic, insulin dependent, and she is fasting. So she wake up in the morning, she had breakfast, whatever, a piece of bread and cup of tea, and in the night, just whatever is ready, cook, she ate that. But some people, where they got little children or a big family, they got a big feast. That's the way they celebrate their Ramadan. It didn't mean that eat less, but they eat so much and then they end up in the bed. But five times prayer is essential for Ramadan. They eat so much that they're unable to pray.
Not necessarily about Ramadan, but more so about Pathan and about Pakistan. Can you remember the music? What was the music like growing up when you were younger? What was the music?
I used to listen to the music, and my music was on a big blast in my room, and people next door, neighbor, come on, turn it down, turn it down. I was young, I never realized that. It's all Indian music, Pakistani music, ghazals, lovely music. It's not the instrument, it's the wording. I always like the wording, the poetry, good poetry. So this type of music I like. And our Pathan, they got their traditional music. That is something different with the duff and do, what do you call it, dolchi. You know, two-sided drum type thing. Yeah. So, colorful like clothes and...
I was thinking like a tombole?
Dolki, we call it dolak. Dolak, okay, yeah.
Okay. So then, has it changed? Has music changed now?
No, I don't think so. But in those days, every hotel, they got gramophone, and with the full blast gramophone, in the street, everything. But now, I notice there's change now. They won't do that now. I don't know why. Perhaps they got the television. So instead of listening to the music, they are more interested in watching the television.
Okay. Just this last section now. Have you kept any kind of family heirlooms, family kind of photographs or ornaments?
Have we got them?
Yeah. Have you kept any?
Not few. Very little number of photographs. Because in those days, camera was very expensive, and we used to go to the studio. 5 rupees, which is I think 0.5 pence, you can say, and all these in the front of the photographer like this or like holding your hand. Yes, I got few. Yeah.
Why are they important to you?
Because those are my parents. I got my dad's photo, I got my mom's photograph, I got my uncle and aunties, my childhood photograph, when I was 12, I think. So it's emotional.
Are we okay to use them as part of the People's Collection as well? Is there any
it's in my album.
Yeah, are you able to bring some or arrange a time that we can take photos of them and use them as part of this?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, thank you. And then is there anything else you'd like to share at all?
Not really. It's lovely questions. It reminds me a lot of things. And good memories. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.